Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Targovax company update. Today, I'm pleased to present Øystein Soug. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this teleconference to discuss Targovax's latest clinical data. This morning, as you may have seen, we sent a press release on interim results from our phase I study running in the U.S., three different centers, among them Memorial Sloan Kettering, on our oncolytic virus, ONCOS-102, in a trial in checkpoint inhibitor refractory melanoma. And with me today to discuss this news, I have Head of R&D and CMO Magnus Gjedeberg, and Chief Business Officer Erik Digman Wiklund, who up until recently was our CFO. So I'm also happy to present Targovax's new CFO today, Torbjørn Furuseth, who just joined us. So the data we released this morning relates to a patient population that does not have many options. For malignant melanoma, patient standard of care is checkpoint inhibitor treatment, to which about half of the patients respond. And for those 50% who do not respond, there are really few options. Some will go on to another checkpoint inhibitor, some will be given chemotherapy, and some will go on to another clinical trial or simply palliative care. So when looking at the data, it's important to keep in mind that it's an advanced patient population, and in our trial, they're typically already failed on two previous immunotherapies, and they're quite sick. So the reason why immunotherapies or checkpoint inhibitors on their own do not work in some patients may, of course, be various, but a widely shared explanation is that even though the checkpoint inhibitor does its job in releasing the brakes of the immune system and open the door, so to speak, for cancer-killing T cells, there may not be enough of the right T cells there in the tumor of the patient. And the rationale of our trial is to treat these checkpoint inhibitor refractory patients with ONCOS-102 in order to immune activate them, that is to induce the immune system to produce more of the right T cells, the ones that are specific to the patient's cancer, that we have created through lysis of their cancer. So if we're right, with more of the right T cells in the tumor, a checkpoint inhibitor would work again to the extent that we can see a clinical effect. So that's what we're looking for. But a prerequisite for a clinical effect is immune activation. Earlier this year, we released data showing that ONCOS-102 may induce both innate and adaptive immune activation in the first four patients of this same trial. So all of these patients showed good immune activation, which is interesting and reassuring since one expects some 70% of people to have pre-existing immunity to adenoviruses. And we are still able to show very good immune activation, which we also did in our phase one trial. We think that this is a very good validation of adenoviruses as a technology. And of course, we are very happy to see a complete response in our trial. In this very sick patient population, this is extremely rare. What you would expect to see in a checkpoint inhibitor alone is 5% or so. So that we get one complete response among the first six patients is quite reassuring for us that we're on the right track with this trial. And this patient, he was a very sick patient. He had previously been on two checkpoint inhibitors, both Yervoy and Keytruda. And quite early in the treatment, after having received ONCOS-102, all signs of his melanoma disappeared. So this is truly a complete response according to RECIST 1.1, which is the internationally recognized way of measuring response in cancer. So this is very encouraging. But in order to further improve on the response rate we have seen so far, we have agreed with our investigators, the doctors in the trial, to increase the number of injections and expand the trial with additional patients. And as we speak, we're about to change the protocol and implement this improvement to the trial. Summing up, we are very encouraged by this complete responder. And we will present the data in more detail at a key opinion leader in New York on the 11th of October. Speakers there will be Drs. Dimitri Samarin and Alexander Shustari, and they are both involved in our oncolytic virus trials, and they both work at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. And this session will, of course, be webcast. Now, I'll pass the word back to the moderator, who will open for questions. Thank you. Moderator?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, that is 01 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Jonas Peciulis from Edison Investment Research. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Thank you for organizing this call. Obviously, good news today. So far, you sort of described in the press release sort of this one data point. Do you plan to release more data, like, let's say, biomarkers, you know, immune activation or anything like that from the, you know, same six patients?
So this is, this is an open label trial, which means that it's possible for us to release data along the way, and there will be more data released from this trial. But as I mentioned, we're now going into a new phase of the trial where we will be giving more injections of ONCOS-102, and then we may release more data on the first cohort, but we have not announced when we plan to do that.
Okay, thank you. So now, if I recall correctly, there should be more than six patients enrolled, at least according to original design. So when you're now talking about increasing the dose and giving to more patients, so does this mean a bigger trial, or do you mean to increase the dose in the subsequent patients? I mean, just to understand, you know, how the design of the original design of the trial will evolve.
Hi, thanks, Jonas. It's Magnus here. So we will actually do both, as Øystein said. So with protocol change now being with IRBs at the three U.S. sites, as soon as that's come through, and we expect that in the next couple of weeks, any subsequent patient that will be entered will go on to the new dosing regimen. So we're going up from 3 to 12 ONCOS 102 injections. And we will also, as a result of that, increase the number of patients who will go into the trial.
Oh, okay, okay.
So by doing that, we also have then the opportunity to later on in the study make a comparison as to level of immune activation and clinical response, comparing the first cohort, if we call the first cohort the one we're in at the moment, and the second cohort where we've increased the number of ONCOS injections.
Okay, okay, Magnus, thank you. So just third one. So now we have this sort of initial sort of glimpse, you know, what happens when you, you know, administer ONCOS after, you know, checkpoint inhibition. Does it, do you take any, like, is there any, like, read-through to your other clinical trials with ONCOS? I mean, when it comes to dosings, for example, mesothelioma, are you sort of considering any changes or, you know, it's good as is, just, you know, any ideas?
So I suppose we have, well, firstly, we have the mesothelioma study, as you know. It's a very different clinical setting, and we are combining with a chemotherapeutic agent or chemotherapy combination, Pemensis, in that trial. So in that trial, we're already giving more than three injections. So it's somewhat different. And then we have a third study. If you remember, we have a study in collaboration with MedImmune and Cancer Research Institute, where we're given the virus intraperitoneally through an indwelling catheter. And in that trial, we're giving it six times every week. And the six times is limited by the length of time that you can keep an indwelling catheter in the patient. So so they're slightly different ways of administering the virus and also slightly different indications, which is sort of the background to where we started with three priming injections in this trial, while in the other trials we're doing something slightly different.
Okay, okay. Makes sense. That's clear, Magnusson. Okay, I'll jump back in the queue.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Suzanne Steffers from Arctic Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open for your question.
Hi, this is Anne. I was wondering about, like, if you give more injections, will you need to send in an amendment for your trial, or is that not necessary? And if so, how
yeah.
long will that take?
Yeah. Hi, Susanne. I don't know if you heard my answer to the previous question by Jonas. So yeah, of course, we've rewritten the protocol. It's already gone in. It's been approved by the hospitals, and we're just waiting for IRB at the three sites. And as I said, we're expecting those to come through in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, great. Sorry, I didn't hear that.
No.
And then also I was wondering about the if you're talking about refractory or CPI refractory melanoma, what do you refer to? Because like some of these patients are rapid progressors, others are just more stable or slow progressors. So can you say a little bit about the patients that you have included so far?
Yes, as Øystein said in his introduction, on average, the six patients had been on two previous immunotherapies and actually two previous checkpoint inhibitors. So we have patients who have been on Keytruda for a protracted period, several cycles. We have patients who had Yervoy and Keytruda, and Keytruda and Yervoy. So you have sort of a mixture of scenarios. The one thing that they all have in common is that they stopped responding to a checkpoint inhibitor. That was sort of the inclusion criteria. So, for example, the patient that had a complete response, that patient had been on Keytruda for a very long time, actually, but then stopped responding. So that's sort of the definition or the criteria for going into the trial.
And with regards then to the patient that had a response, was that a rapid progressor, or was that had he been on CPIs for a long time, or can't you say anything about that?
Yeah, I can. I mean, that patient had been on Keytruda for close to 1.5 years.
Okay.
So, which as I tried to say in the quote, I don't know if you saw the press release, I think it makes it a very interesting patient because the
definitely.
Patient had clearly responded to Keytruda at some stage in the treatment, because if the patient wouldn't have responded, the physician wouldn't have kept the patient on Keytruda. And then later on, the patient stopped responding to Keytruda, got off the drug, only had 3 ONCOS-1 and 2 priming injections, and responded very quickly in the trial to subsequent Keytruda. So it's quite an interesting case, actually, in terms of ONCOS-1 and 2 being able to immune activate in a very short period of time, to the point where the same checkpoint inhibitor that was no longer working before those 3 injections suddenly started to work.
Can you say a little bit about the tumor load?
No, we don't. In fact, more details, if you're interested, we didn't want to preempt too much of what Alex Shastari, who's in Jed Walshak's group, is going to present on the 11th of October. So if you're interested, we're going to have a lot more information at that briefing, which will be webcasted.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question for the speakers, it's 01 on your telephone keypad. And our next question comes from the line of Klas Palin from Redeye. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much, and thanks for taking my questions. I just have one question, actually, and I wonder if you have seen any type of T-cell activation correlation with the one patient that responded and the one that did not.
Yeah, again, hi, Klaus. Again, without stealing the thunder of Alex's presentation on the 11th of October, I can tell you that there was a very nice correlation in terms of both innate and adaptive immune activation and this patient's clinical response.
Okay. Thank you. Very interesting data.
Yeah, we think so too. We're very excited about it.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you very much for taking my question.
Thank you. And as a final reminder, if you do have any questions, it's 01 on your telephone keypad. And as we do not have any more questions registered, I now hand back to our speakers for any closing comments.
So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for dialing in today, and hopefully some of you will attend also our KOL event in New York, or listen to or look at the webcast coming out of that event. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.